Welcome to the Neighborhood Cafe with your host, Amy Lively. Since there isn't a real cafe in Amy's neighborhood, she invited her neighbors over for coffee in her own living room, the best place for starting new friendships and nurturing old ones. Invite a girlfriend to listen along with you today as Amy shares a whole new way to love your neighbors at the Neighborhood Cafe.
Good morning, girlfriends. Thanks for joining me at the Neighborhood Cafe. I'm Amy Lively, and I've spent the last several years getting to know my neighbors. Today, I'd like to share with you some of the biggest mistakes I've made when knocking on my neighbors' doors. That's right, I'm going to just bare my soul and tell you about my failures. Today, we're going to talk about how not to neighbor. So when I returned to the Lord after a 20-year hiatus, which that's a story I'll tell you on another day, I was just so excited. My life was being transformed every day by what I was learning and reading and receiving. But I am so thankful for all the people who gave me grace when I so helpfully pointed out to them all the things they weren't doing right. You know, when we're just lit up for the Lord and we can see so clearly how someone else could be so blessed by Him, it's really hard not to just take them by their shoulders and shake them and say, "You've got to try this God thing. I mean, He's the best thing ever." But that didn't work too well for me. People didn't respond to my revelation as if it was their own. And so one of the things I don't suggest is that we knock on our neighbors' doors and lecture them about what awful sinners they are or give them a pamphlet illustrating what happens 10 minutes after they die. People don't really respond too well to that is what I found. Another mistake I've made is trying to love my neighbors with an ulterior motive. An ulterior motive would be maybe to get them to come to your church or to a special event or even just to make yourself look good or to get them saved so they'll stop having parties on Saturday night and maybe get a grip on their wild kids. You know, many local churches here in Lancaster and Fairfield County, in fact, churches all over the country, have partnered to practice the art of neighboring. And this is based on a book by the same name by Jay Pathick and Dave Runyon. And the authors do a really good job defining the difference between an ulterior motive and an ultimate motive. See, an ulterior motive is intentionally kept concealed. It's usually manipulative, and it's more about you than about your neighbor. But an ultimate motive is simply to share the story of what Jesus has done in our own lives. You know, if you spend any time talking to my friends Jenny or Adrian, then you're going to hear about their new babies. If you spend any time talking to my friend Ron, you're going to hear about his love for cars. And if you spend any time talking to Juanita, you're going to hear about the new store that she just opened. And if you spend any time talking to a person whose life has been transformed by Jesus Christ, you're going to hear about it. Every conversation will be sprinkled with stories about how God's grace helped them to forgive people who had really deeply hurt them. You'll hear stories about the power of the Holy Spirit helping them overcome temptation and make good choices. And you'll hear stories about God just miraculously providing all things at all times so they have all that they need. See, ultimately, the story of what God has done in our lives will be told in such a natural way. We just can't help ourselves. These stories become part of who we are. The art of neighboring says, we don't love our neighbors to convert them. We love them because we are converted. And you know, maybe someday we'll get around to those hard conversations. But for now, all we need to do is just get to know our neighbors very naturally and just let God handle all the spiritual part of it. And then sooner or later, before you know it, God's grace will reach more and more people. There will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. That's from 2 Corinthians 2:15. Isn't that a great picture? I mean, can't you just see everyone on your street holding hands and singing together while angels cheer and God smiles? It's kind of like one of those old Coca-Cola commercials with everyone joining hands together. I really hope it does happen like that in our neighborhoods, but I should warn you that when you decide you're going to love your neighbors, you have just triggered something cataclysmic in the spiritual world. Bells and whistles and sirens are going off that you don't have the ears to hear. Because while Jesus came that we might have a rich and satisfying life, there is a thief who comes to steal and destroy. And don't you for 1 minute think this thief is going to sit idly by while we go make happy with our neighbors. See, when you try to love your neighbors, there's an external battle. The devil just hates this whole love thing God is always talking about. And every time you knock on your neighbor's door in a gesture of loving kindness, you stir a hornet's nest of what the Bible calls evil spirits in the heavenly places who will do everything they can to stop you. So what's this look like? What does this external battle look like in our lives? Well, it might look like petty arguments with our neighbors. It might be a barking dog in the middle of the night, or grass that goes a little too long between cuttings, or maybe it's a car parked right in your space in front of your house. And these little annoyances can drive us crazy, and sometimes they make you want to go pound on your neighbor's door and just give them a piece of your mind. Or this might come as an attack of discouragement. I mean, you might become so weighed down with self-doubt and criticism that you don't even see how you could possibly do any good in your neighborhood. Or it might just come as an incident that makes you feel disqualified to love your neighbors. You might get into a fight with your husband or your in-laws, or you might get a speeding ticket on your very own street, or maybe it's your kid who gives another neighbor a nice black eye. Now, I really don't want to go blaming the devil when I get myself into trouble, but I truly believe that when we step off our front porches into our neighborhoods in the name of Christ, we had better put on all of God's armor so that we will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. He has strategies. Did you know that? He's plotting and planning. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. That's from Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 12. See, this whole love your neighbor thing is too important for the devil not to care. And another of the mistakes I've made is going out unprepared and then giving in, giving up, losing hope, and wasting time. Instead, ladies, we fight this battle with truth, knowing that this opposition, it's opposition to God himself. It's nothing personal against us. And we might be caught in the middle of it, but we can call down heaven's armies to walk with us in our neighborhood. Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness." That is the truth, that he is on our side. We can also fight this external battle with prayer by persistently and keeping on praying for our neighbors. Ephesians 6, 18 and 19 says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too." Ladies, pray for yourself. Ask God to give you the right word so you can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that is the good news. You know, at the same time as there's this external battle going on in the spiritual world, there's also this internal battle going on this right inside my head. You know, I am a little embarrassed to admit to you that I don't always feel like loving my neighbors. I mean, sometimes I just want to be alone. I just want to shut the blinds and watch a movie. Some days I don't want to spend the time. Sometimes I don't want the hassle of getting involved in people's lives. Don't they say, you know, good fences make good neighbors? I mean, that's pretty much what we have lived up to in our American neighborhoods. So another mistake I've made is listening to my own objections and letting my own fears about getting involved in people's lives. But this is a battle, an internal battle that we must fight with honor. And we do this by living in such a way that people don't have anything bad to say about us. To paraphrase the golden rule, neighbor unto others as you would have them neighbor unto you. So be the kind of neighbor that you want your neighbors to be. Be thoughtful. Keep your own grass mowed. Keep your dog inside when it's barking. Carry those little doggy litter bags and pick up after them when you take a walk. Take cookies to new people, but not while you're carrying the doggy litter bag, please. Drive the speed limit in your neighborhood. Look out for other people. Look around to see who might need someone to care for them. Just be aware and begin to care. Romans 12, 17, 18 says, "Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone." Sometimes that's hardest to do in our own neighborhoods. But we're also told Colossians 4, 5, and 6, Use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not put them down, not cut them out. So this is how we fight this internal battle with honor. But we can also fight this internal battle with friends as we join up with other neighbors who are committed to the art of neighboring. Hopefully you've heard about this at your own church or even read about it in the paper. It's not just a sermon series or a gimmick. I mean, we're talking about a lifestyle of loving people. And one of the tools to help us connect with our neighbors is an interactive map at the Art of Neighboring website. And you'll see it at artofneighboring.com/Lancaster. And there you'll see other people who want to be more involved in your neighborhood. So remember that thousands of people in our area have heard the same message in their churches, and many of them are your neighbors. And they can also be your partners in doing something in your neighborhood together. One of the things we're asking you to consider is joining with your neighbors to host a block party in your neighborhood this year. And you decide what this looks like. It can be something as simple as pulling your grill into the driveway and inviting the people on either side of you. There's hot dogs and paper plates. Or you can go all the way. You can do bounce houses and clowns. It's your call. It's totally up to you. See, the Art of Neighboring movement in Lancaster and Fairfield County has the full support of our mayor, the sheriff, the chief of police, and the county commissioners. And see, they're all in because they know that neighboring isn't just a random Christian command. It's actually God's perfect plan for making our community safe, secure, and strong. But just remember, there's no agenda other than getting to know your neighbors in a very natural way. Ladies, we are God's plan for reaching the world. He doesn't ask us to be pushy or overpowering or rude. He doesn't ask us to preach at them or lecture them or convict them or judge them. He doesn't ask us to fight the battle on our own. He comes along right beside us. He gives us his Holy Spirit and his righteousness to go and give us courage. He simply places people around us and gives us the opportunity to move from strangers to acquaintances and then very naturally into relationships. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." See, Jesus stepped down from heaven to move into our neighborhood. And all he's asking us to do is simply walk across the street to meet our neighbors. He loves them so much. So this is my challenge for us. If you're up to it, I would like to ask you to get to know one new neighbor this week. Make that trek across the street and say hello. Compliment their flowers. Ask where they got their mulch. Don't ask when they're ever planning on mowing their yard again. But maybe you'll find out something that'll give you a little more mercy to understand why they don't. This is my challenge. Get to know one new neighbor. And then I would love to hear your stories of what's happening in your neighborhood. Would you tell me? Would you let me know? My email address is amy@theneighborhoodcafe.net. You can also reach me through my website. Thank you for being here today. I will see you next week when we'll get together again to talk about the people God has so carefully arranged us around our homes at the Neighborhood Cafe.
Thank you for listening today to the Neighborhood Cafe with Amy Lively. We hope you found this program to be an encouragement to open your hearts to the neighbors God has carefully placed around your home. Amy is an associate pastor at Life Church. Find them on the web at lifechurchohio.com or visit Life Church, 4 miles north of Lancaster on State Route 37. You can contact Amy and discover a whole new way to love your neighbors at www.theneighborhoodcafe.net.